Welcome to Healthy Vision. I'm your host, Dr. Val Jones. This show is brought to you by AccuView, the brand of contact lenses most trusted by eye doctors. Across the country, millions of children are either back in school or getting ready to start the fall semester. But did you know that about 1 in 4 school-age children suffer from an undetected or untreated vision problem? Responding to President Obama's call to ensure that no child is left behind in the classroom due to an undetected or untreated eye or vision disorder, the American Optometric Association recently gathered together doctors, nurses, educators, and other children's health advocates for the first ever School Readiness Summit, Focus on Vision. The two-day session examined the alarmingly high rates of learning-related vision issues now affecting America's children. And at the conclusion of the summit, the group issued a statement urging a sustained and committed interdisciplinary approach to eliminating untreated and undiagnosed vision problems from America's schools. Dr. Dori Carlson, president of the American Optometric Association, joins us today from North Dakota to talk about the summit and efforts underway to address children's vision and eye health issues. Dr. Carlson, I was really surprised to learn that 1 in 4 school-age children suffer from an undetected vision problem. What's causing these vision problems?
Well, vision problems are a natural development of what happens as a child develops. And so the issue here is just the fact that they're not being caught. And I think first to kind of answer that question a little bit is you have to kind of understand what happens when a child's born. When a child's born, they're born extremely farsighted, and everything's really blurry for them. And it's not until about maybe around 6, 7, 8 months of age that the 20/20 vision, as we know it, kind of starts to kick in because their vision is developing as they're growing and they're developing. So about that time is when you start to see a lot of the developmental changes start to happen with kids, and they gradually lose that farsightedness as they go. And if they don't lose that farsightedness as quickly as they should or on a timely basis, or if they don't lose it in equal amounts so that one eye loses it faster than the other or something of that nature, that's where some of these vision problems start to crop up and you start to see some of these changes happen. And what's happening is that kids aren't necessarily always getting checked before they start school, so at that point in time when they're into that entry-level school age group, then suddenly we're finding that 1 in 4 kids really do have some sort of undetected vision problem that could have been detected earlier.
So why aren't we detecting them earlier? Why aren't we getting them checked out before school starts?
Part of it is that parents don't realize that they should get their kids' eyes checked. It's not that they're bad parents or anything, but it's just sometimes we just assume as human nature that, well, if there's a vision problem, we'll notice it because we'll see that our child's bumping into something or some other problem like that. I've seen it happen time and time again where parents didn't realize there was a problem. Let's take an example. We've heard maybe the term lazy eye. And what it basically refers to is there's a couple of different ways that a child can develop what's amblyopia or a lazy eye. And one is that there can be physically one eye turning in or out independently of the other eye. So they're not working together and they're not teaming together. That's easy to see because you can look at the child and go, you know, something's not right here. But the second thing that's a lot harder to catch is that the eyes may physically be teaming well together and the muscle system is working, but as the vision was developing and as the child was losing that farsightedness, one eye lost the farsightedness at a faster pace than the other eye did. So the brain got used to seeing better with one eye while the image was more blurry with the other eye, and as a result, the brain just kind of started turning off the vision from one of the eyes, and that's how a person ended up with a lazy eye. That's really hard to detect. There's all kinds of stories where somebody didn't realize there was a problem until one eye got covered, and they were at some place where suddenly somebody realized that when they covered an eye, they couldn't see.
And sometimes balance problems can be confused with vision problems, can't they?
Yes, they can. And, you know, I guess balance problems can be confused, yes, because if it's a true balance problem, that would be like an inner ear problem. But, you know, it also goes with the sensory with vision. I had a patient many years ago who I believe he was about 6 years old at the time, came in for an eye exam, and his mom brought him in and kind of said that she thought there was something wrong with his hearing because she would tell him to pick something up, and he didn't always, like, pay attention to her. And so she kind of thought that maybe there was a hearing issue or whatever. So I ended up doing the eye exam on this little boy, and what had happened was one eye could see very clearly, but one eye was extremely nearsighted. He could see something really clearly, maybe 6-7 inches from his face, and that was it. Everything else was really blurry. So things were clear with one eye and really blurry with the other eye. And what I did is I fit him with one contact lens so that he had a contact lens on that one eye so he could actually see well with both eyes again. And his mom came back in. I had him back in for a follow-up visit. And his mom came in and said, you know, he learned how to ride his bike, but he couldn't ride it after we'd fit him with the contact lens because his balance was off. And he had to relearn how to ride his bicycle. And kind of after the fact, she had realized, too, that it was his left eye that didn't see well with. Well, to make left-hand turns, he was making complete circles to the right. And he'd go all the way around to the right in order to wait to get back over to the left. And so, like I said, it wasn't until after that we fit him with the contact lens and he was actually seeing well that his mom kind of figured out that there were some changes here that they really, really hadn't noticed.
That is so interesting. Now, you mentioned that the contact lens in that particular case was really helpful in the treatment of that child. Are there other treatments that you frequently use for vision problems in children?
It depends upon what the needs are for the patient. It might be as simple as a pair of glasses that makes a difference for the child. In this particular case, because there was such a difference between the two eyes, a pair of glasses just was really difficult to work with because there was such a huge difference. So a contact lens was an easier thing to work with for this particular little boy. You know, it might be something where if that child has developed a lazy eye, there may be patching therapy prescribed so that you patch the better eye of the two and with activities and things encourage the brain to kind of turn on the information with the eye that has been not seeing so well. Or, you know, there's something that can be done with vision therapy, for instance, and that's a really common thing that's done for if the two eyes aren't teaming well together or if you have one eye, like I said before, that's turning in or out independently of the other, they can work with exercises to kind of help the visual system and the two eyes team back together again. So it really depends upon what the child's needs are.
I understand that while most school vision screenings can and do catch some types of vision problems, they do have their limitations. Are you concerned about parents who rely specifically on school screenings for their vision care?
I really am, because the studies show that upwards of 75% of the kids who have a learning-related vision problem are actually missed on a school screening. And, you know, the other thing that concerns me, too, is that even if a child is found to have a problem on a school screening, there's other studies that show that upwards of 40% of the kids don't get the follow-up care afterwards. And that might be for a variety of reasons. It could be that maybe piece of paper got stuck in the backpack and didn't get home to the parents, so they didn't know that their child was found to have a problem with the school screening. Even in the best screenings where they do catch kids, sometimes there's a problem with the follow-up care afterwards and making sure that kids are seen to have it checked out.
And what are some of the more common vision problems that you see in children, and what could happen to them if they're not detected early?
Well, the biggest thing that I see, and the younger the child is, certainly the most common it is, most kids are going to be farsighted to some degree. Lots of studies have been done, and usually about the 4, 5, and 6-year-old range is where we want them to be still a little bit farsighted before they enter school. And so I will look at kids to see if they're within those normal ranges for what their age group is. You'll see kids that are farsighted and are having trouble seeing, and if they're too farsighted, they'll have trouble seeing things up close. Certainly, you'll start to see kids that are nearsighted and are having trouble seeing the blackboard. I see kids who have one eye seeing better than the other, and there's issues with a lazy eye type of issue, or amblyopia as it's called. And those are probably the most common things that happen with kids.
And if they're not detected early, does their vision suffer long term?
It can, yes. Certainly, the older a child is before you get any sort of vision problems detected, the more difficult it is to deal with the problem, in particular if they're farsighted.
And I bet this has a relationship to do with their learning, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, you can see different things. Over the years, I've had several kids that have been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, for example. And it wasn't until later that someone said, well, maybe we should get their eyes checked and find out that the child was so farsighted that they couldn't really attend to anything that was put up in front of them anyway, up close. So, you know, I've had kids that have been put on medications to treat their disorders and things when, you know, maybe there was an aspect there, but certainly there was a visual component that was attributing to some of the problem.
Now, you attended the School Readiness Summit recently. What were your takeaways?
The School Readiness Summit was fabulous. It was a summit about getting a diversified group of individuals together, people from all kinds of groups that work with children, Parent Teachers Association, Head Start Association, National Commission on Vision and Health, Speech and Learning, and getting all of these different groups from these different associations who were not eye doctors, and in the same room discussing about how vision is related with learning, and that in order to learn well, you have to see well. And that's what the whole impetus behind the School Readiness Summit was. So we spent a day and a half talking about all the issues about how vision and learning were related and what could we do as a group to raise the level of awareness that somewhere in the foundation of children's care is that there should be an eye exam to make sure that they have every possibility of performing well when they get into school.
At the summit, mother and author Robin Benoit told the group how she unexpectedly discovered that her daughter Jillian had a significant vision problem. Let's take a listen.
Jillian is one of those children who fell through the cracks. And we don't really know how that happened, because Jillian was screened by her pediatrician at more than one annual physical. It wasn't until she was 5, almost 6 years old, at the end of preschool, they were pretending to be pirates, and the teacher slipped a pirate patch on my daughter's good eye, leaving her blind. And my daughter fell to the floor screaming for help. And that is not how a parent should find out that their child is blind in one eye.
Dr. Carlson, you're not only a family eye doctor and the president of the American Optometric Association, but you're also a mom. What can moms learn from Robin's story?
With Robin's story, I think it was just a really horrible way to find out that your daughter has trouble seeing in one eye. And certainly, I think the takeaway from this is that we need to make sure that our kids have an eye exam at some point in time in those developmental years. As the American Optometric Association president, what we recommend is that a child have their eye exam in the first year of life, specifically about the ages 6 to 12 months or somewhere in that age, at 3 years of age and before they enter school. That way you can catch any and all developmental vision problems that might be occurring, or at least identifying the kids at risk, and find out what's going on with your child before you run into a problem like what happened to Robin.
Dr. Carlson, I know that the AOA Foundation supports the Infancy Program. I wondered if you could tell our listeners a little bit more about it.
Absolutely. The Infancy Program started about 5 years ago, where the American Optometric Association challenged all of us as providers to see if there was something we could do to make a difference in the lives of children. We believed so strongly that we needed to change how we were looking at children's vision issues and, more importantly, raise the level of awareness that Infancy was developed. What it is Infancy is a program where providers, specifically optometrists all across the United States, donate their time and provide no-cost eye assessments to children in their first year of life.
So how do you find an Infancy provider?
You can find an Infancy provider by going to the American Optometric Association's website. It is AOA.org. There is a doctor locator on that website, and you can search it by zip code or state or find somebody in your area that may be an Infancy provider.
Thanks so much for joining me today, Dr. Carlson.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Infancy is a public health program that provides a one-time comprehensive eye assessment to infants in their first year of life, typically between the ages of 6 and 12 months. These assessments are provided at no cost to all families, regardless of ability to pay or access to insurance coverage. For more information, visit www.infancy.org. That's www.infancy.org. You've been listening to Healthy Vision with Dr. Val Jones, brought to you by AccuView, the brand of contact lenses most trusted by eye doctors.
Healthy Vision with Dr. Val Jones is a copyright of Johnson & Johnson Vision Care Incorporated, 2011. Dr. Jones is a paid consultant for Johnson & Johnson Vision Care Incorporated. As with all contact lenses, a prescription is required. Rare but serious eye problems can develop. Ask your eye doctor about proper wear and care and whether contact lenses are right for you. For more information on Acuvue brand contact lenses, go to Acuvue.com. Acuvue and Healthy Vision are trademarks of Johnson & Johnson Vision Care, Incorporated.